From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of November. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. A bit later in the program, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson about the commodity futures and the trade in Chicago. Drew Lerner will be here to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. Dave Dickey has an update of the agricultural news. And along the way today, we'll take a look at the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons facility in Logansport, Indiana. And it all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Well, let's check in on the numbers from the CME Group in Chicago, where futures on the afternoon finished the nearby contract in the soft red winter wheat pit. That's the December at $6.47 1/4, down 3. The March at $6.55 1/2, 3 3/4 lower. And July soft red at $6.54 3/4, down 4 3/4. The hard red down 3 cents at $6.95 1/2. December corn futures $4.17 3/4 of a cent lower. The March at $4.25 1/4, down a penny. May contract $4.33 1/2, down 1 1/4. And July corn $4.40 1/4, down penny and a half for the day. December of next year, $4.53 3/4, down 1 1/2. January soybeans at $12.73 3/4, 2 1/2 cents lower. The March unchanged, $12.64 1/4, and May futures at $12.54, a penny and a quarter higher in the bean pit. July futures $12.50 1/4, that's up 1 cent, and next year's November at $11.53 1/4, 3 3/4 of a cent higher. December bean meal, $407 even, down $1.90, and December bean oil at $40.32, that's 33 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the nearby December contract at $1.31 and a nickel, that's a dime higher. February futures at $131.95, up 27.5 cents. November feeders $164.57 1/2 per 100 pounds, finished 20 cents higher, in the January futures at $162.75, up 35 for the day. December lean hogs $86.25, up 82.5 cents, and the February futures $90.92 1/2, $1.02 1/2 higher. You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org, on your radio station, and on this phone number, 217-333-3434, updated at 10:15 and 3:15 Central Time each and every business day. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures in the December contract at $93.33 a barrel, a penny higher for the day, rather a penny lower for the day. The RBOB gasoline at $2.65 9/10, that's up 2 cents. And ethanol futures at $1.94 1/2, a dime and 9 tenths higher. The RBOB to ethanol spread at 71 4/10 1/2 cents. That's narrowing, and 8 9/10 from yesterday. And natural gas at $3.66 8/10, that's 11 1/10 higher. Gold futures on the day at $1,258, down $15.50. The U.S. dollar at 81.12 is up 0.41. And the diesel fuel on the day, $2.95 a gallon even, up 4 4/10 of a cent. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service for the day, mostly cloudy skies, trying to make it all the way to 46, just 43 degrees outside our studios at the moment. A south-southeast wind is making it feel like 42 degrees. That's coming at 11 to 13 miles an hour, gusting at 17. And then tonight, a 40% chance of rainfall. After 7 in the evening in the area, mostly cloudy, a low of 41. Thursday, occasional showers, mainly after 7 a.m., a high of 50 degrees with a south wind at 6 to 13 miles an hour. And then Thursday evening, occasional rainfall. A chance of precipitation, though, set at 80%, a low of 43. South-southwest winds at 5 to 7. Rain mainly before 7 a.m. on Monday, or rather on Friday, with a high of 47 degrees. Light northwest winds becoming northerly at 8 to 13, they'll gust all the way to 17. Chance of rainfall on Friday set at 80%. And Friday evening, that rainfall chance remains at 50%, mostly before 7 p.m. This is the Closing Market Report. You're listening to Illinois Public Medium. It is the 20th day of November, 2013.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
On the phone line with us to take a look at the marketplace is Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Okay.
Let's talk about the marketplace just a bit, Jackie. We're searching for some direction, it appears, in particularly because the December report has changed, not really changed the yield number, may not really change the yield number, I guess. What do you think of this corn market at the moment?
Well, I think it's lethargic. I think it's lethargic and kind of weak and anemic. It really doesn't have any good reason. You know, there's just nothing there that's directing it other than to say that we have, you know, a very large crop and potential for a larger crop. And so until we either get some new export business, we see China step forward and buy some more corn, you know, I think it's just going to continue to trade a range and possibly lay around and do not much of anything until we get through that. Either December changes the yield number, which I left a message for USDA but haven't heard back from them, and or we have to go all the way to the January report.
And does it usually change in December? I think probably not.
No. Normally in a regular year you would not see them make that kind of change. Now, I don't know if there might be an exception because we didn't have an October report, but I'll find out and I'll let you know.
And then, of course, we have things happening in Washington, D.C. with the Farm Bill.
Oh, yeah, let's hope that this is for real once. You know, they're saying that they're getting very close, and they hope that maybe by this Saturday they could have it out of committee and on to the powers to be and perhaps even passed by the 13th of December, which is when the Christmas break starts. So, you know, there's still a lot of strong issues like cotton subsidies, income means testing for crop insurance payments. You know, that's a big sticking point, as well as limitations on payments. So we'll see if they can get it hammered out. I think there'll be a lot of people in D.C. this week that don't have a lot of sleep.
We could talk more about the futures, but I'm more interested in what else is happening. Heard about any land sales recently?
I actually did. One of my clients over in Indiana called, and it was an interesting conversation because of the fact that he had a banker who contacted him and said, you know, there's this land coming up for sale. If you're going to it, I'll lend you any amount of money that you want. I will give you a loan for. And my client said, well, I'm not even going to go to the sale because I just don't think it makes any common sense to be spending the kind of money that it's probably going to bring. And the banker said, well, I really appreciate your business sense. And so I think that's interesting in itself. But that tract of land, it was like 211.5 acres, brought $2.75 million or $13,000 an acre. When he wrote me, he just wrote, yikes. When he told me what it was, and I wrote back, double yikes. I really hope that whoever bought this has a good hedge program in place for 2014 corn and beans.
If not, I have a phone number they can call.
That's right.
Or a whole bunch of them.
That's right.
Just give
That's
me a call.
Exactly
I'll let
the
you
truth.
Know.
Any of us.
Just let me know. Hey, outside markets in general, anything coming out of, I don't know, the Federal Reserve, other places?
Well, we do have Federal Reserve meeting notes out tonight that always have an impact. You know, it was interesting today. We saw that, you know, we saw the Dow Jones index hit a brand new high. We did not see the Dow Jones futures do that, which is kind of interesting because normally they pretty much mirror each other. But, you know, there's that talk out there that they may start to taper down the bond buying. And, of course, we did see the dollar take a bounce on some short covering with the idea that that might be happening. But when Mr. Bernanke talked last night, he certainly gave no hint as to what direction it was going to take. So, you know, I guess we'll find out more tonight once the meeting notes are released.
Other things in the outside markets, China's doing some interesting things, not with agricultural policy, but those that have to deal with agricultural policy, certainly.
Well, that's true. And you know, they just came out and they said now that they're, instead of this one-child policy that they've had since the 70s, they are going to allow people to have two children if one or both of the parents are only children. And, you know, what that says to me is eventually, of course, this will just begin now, but eventually there's going to be more demand because the population is going to grow again. And so I think they've come to realize the limitations they've had with this one-child policy, and especially the boy-only policy. You do need a girl to make more people, and it's just not working out. They have an extremely old population, and they're going to have to do something about it. So this isn't a surprise. It looks like it's been coming for quite a while. And the labor camps supposedly are going to be eliminated, too. So that should be something interesting to see.
Let's turn your attention directly to the futures markets and what's really been happening there. December options expire Friday.
Yeah, they do. And, you know, so when we look at the markets tomorrow and Friday both, we'll be looking to see which options will probably likely be hung. I would think if you look at the Decembers right now, it's probably going to be the 420s or somewhere in that neighborhood, unless we have a really lusty day tomorrow. And, you know, that the same thing, you know, over in the wheat contract. You know, when I say hung, it means if you're holding a put and the market closes below the strike price of your put, it means that you have the equivalent of a futures contract if you have not gotten out. You will be assigned a futures contract. If you have a call and the market closes above the strike price of your call, you too will have a futures, but it will be a long futures. And so it usually gives us some direction or some feeling as to what the market is thinking. You know, if they're going to hang the puts, usually it means that it's a rather bearish-looking market in general. And so we'll just see once what happens, but that'll be another thing to get behind us.
In the corn in particular, anything that you see in way of ranges or what's been happening fundamentally?
Well, when you look at, well, I guess if you go back to fundamentally, you have to talk about China, you know, China's cancellation of one of the loads because of a non-GMO type. I call cancellations price negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at March, I think that we could have a range that could be 40 higher or 40 lower than where we are. So that gives us 465 down to 385. Dece, I think, 4 to 5 until we know what acres are actually at. Interesting down in South America, Brazil has all of its full-season corn planted, but they haven't been buying any inputs for Safrina corn. And, you know, that's their double-crop corn. So the question still remains, will they actually do double-crop beans for the first time in years and years and years? You know, and so, you know, as you move into the bean market, now there's an interesting market. When you looked at Monday's inspections, were fantastic, 87.8 million. We've got farmer selling going on. The big question in my mind, if we can't get some good movement, and we'll be looking to see what export sales are tomorrow, in the futures market, then I've got to start wondering, you know, are the exporters feeling comfortable that they've got enough grain secured until South America starts to come on, and will we begin to see these cancellations? You know, these are all like shades of the late 90s when we start to see cancellations coming in. You know, it's in other words, I paid you too much, now I want to cancel, and then I'll see if I can renegotiate a lower price. And so the other big thing with beans, Todd, is Argentina right now. Argentina is talking about doing some changes on their currency, and they've got about what's estimated to be 400 to 500 million bushels of old beans in stock that could possibly come to market. You know, I think it's interesting, and all of us should be listening to this or paying attention to this closely. Argentina actually has a black market for the U.S. dollar. The exchange rate is 35 to 50% higher than the actual exchange rate. And why would they be willing to spend that money? It was because of the crisis that happened there in 2002. And it's getting more hot. They trade in caves, is what they call them, on the street. And, you know, so you know that if this rate for the U.S. dollar is getting higher and higher down there like it is right now, there's fear as to what's going to happen within their own economy. So I think we have to be very prepared, especially if you're sitting on old crop beans and you're counting on new crop beans. Boy, I'll tell you what, a glut of beans coming from Argentina at a cheap price would not be a good thing for us.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. That's Jackie Vakes. She's with Stuart Peterson. Joins us here on the Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Dave Dickey will be here in a moment to take a look at the agricultural news.
In agricultural news, the Farm Bill Conference Committee is continuing to meet this week in closed-door sessions. One lobbyist suggested that the bill could be finished this week, although House Agriculture Committee Chairman Frank Lucas, who is chairing the conference committee, told the Capitol Hill newspaper that he would not promise a conference report before Thanksgiving. Lucas continues to meet in private with Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow and the two ranking members of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees, Representative Colin Peterson and Senator Thad Cochran. Lucas said yesterday an agreement on commodity programs needs to be struck by the end of this week if there is any hope of getting a farm bill done in December. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Max Baucus says he expects legislation will be introduced yet this year to grant the president trade promotion authority, but that hearings and a markup of the proposal are unlikely until sometime in 2014. TPA, which the administration needs before it can conclude several ongoing trade negotiations, expired in 2007 and has not been renewed. Big U.S. meat packers are appealing to Congress in a last-ditch effort to terminate new federal labeling rules that require more information about the origins of beef, pork, and other meats. At issue are regulations set to come into full force on Saturday that require meat processors to list details, including the countries in which livestock were born, raised, and slaughtered. Tyson Foods, Cargill, and other meat packers are lobbying members of Congress to amend the latest rules within a new federal farm bill, arguing they impose unnecessary costs on the industry. The meat industry is also challenging the rules in a U.S. District Court in Washington, D.C. Deere & Company's fourth quarter net income rose 17% as it raised prices for its farm and construction equipment, but it predicted a slowdown in the farm economy and smaller profits for next year. It predicted that equipment sales would fall 3% and its profits will also decline. For the most recent quarter, Deere earned $806.8 million, or $2.11 per share. That's up from $687.6 million, or $1.75 a share a year earlier. Equipment revenue fell 5%. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and drydown data, is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. In just a moment, we'll hear from Extension, or rather ag economist from the University of Illinois, Darrell Good, about the marketplace, in particular about the size of the corn crop and his view of where things might be headed. It was a rough growing season in the United States, but all in all a really good one for corn production. The United States Department of Agriculture estimates the size of this year's crop will reach nearly 14 billion bushels. That much production has a consequence. USDA says the cash price of corn will drop from last year's $6.89 a bushel to something between $4.10 and $4.90. University of Illinois ag economist Darrell Good agrees with the agency.
I think they're right that, you know, we're going to be in the low to mid $4 range as an average price for this year. Even with some increase in consumption, we're going to have plentiful year-ending stocks.
Plentiful, but not exactly burdensome at 1.88 billion bushels. Still, that's more than twice what was left over from last year and means those places that use corn will have plenty of it around. Good thinks USDA may be overestimating how much corn will be used for feed, but the ethanol and export numbers, they're on target. Exports could even grow.
Some talk of whether China, for example, might use this period of lower prices to rebuild some inventories. And if they chose to do that, then we might see some some bigger sales yet this year. So I think the bottom line is exports could be what I would call substantially larger than projected without changing the bottom line in terms of our inventory of corn. Another 100 million bushels one way or another doesn't change us from kind of a surplus to any kind of tightness for this current marketing year.
It might move the price of corn a little, but 100 million bushels extra used up in the export market or any other place doesn't really change the corn is plentiful moniker. Well, the future for soybeans is a different story than that of corn in the United States and around the planet. USDA expects there to be around 170 million bushels of the oilseed on hand at the end of the marketing year. It's a tight supply figure, says Darrell Good.
There's no question it's tight. Continues what we saw last year following the small crop of 2014, but with continued good demand for soybean meal and soybeans in the export market, we're going to use up most of this year's larger crop. And I think as long as those stocks look to be very tight, prices are going to be supported at much higher levels relative to corn than what we've seen in the past.
Moving forward, the University of Illinois ag economist says the South American soybean crop will be key to the price of soybeans in the United States, especially between April and September of next year.
The market is anticipating kind of in a big way that production will be large enough to meet strong world demand in the last half of our marketing year. If anything goes wrong with that crop or demand turns out to be stronger than currently projected, then that would suggest that we will need to see an increase in production in soybeans in the U.S. in 2014. So I think we're still kind of on the bubble in terms of soybeans, whether we have to do some rationing yet this marketing year or not. And that uncertainty, I think, at least for the next few months until we get a better handle on South America, is going to support soybean prices and may eventually mean that we need to see higher prices for next year's crop in order to attract a few more bean acres.
Well, it depends some on the size of the South American soybean crop, some on decisions made in Washington, D.C., and some on how many acres in total are available to plant the soybean and corn in the United States next spring. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the cash grain market on this Wednesday afternoon. Bree Stauffer is on the phone line from the Anderson's Climbers facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Bree.
Good afternoon.
Is it finally quiet there?
We are finally winding down post-harvest time, probably just a very small amounts left out in the countryside. And the market here is, from a cash perspective, basis-wise, trying to figure out what moves cash corn along, what's our next cash price objective. That being said, we're seeing basis levels kind of creep upwards just a little bit, hoping to kind of entice folks to move a little here before the first of the year.
You found any place that does that?
Yes, here at Climbers, we do have a cash price on the close tonight with the market steady at 410.
Okay, and your soybean prices for the area and the processors, have they been pumping those up too?
We did see an initial probably 2.5-3 weeks ago at the end of true bean harvest. We did see them stick their heads up a little bit and kind of pay up for some bean coverage, December during the holiday time frame. But since then, I feel as though they were able to buy some above $13 cash beans and have some coverage here on the nearby, so they're not quite as strong.
Thanks so much, Bree.
Okay, thank you.
Bree Stauffer.
It's National Peanut Butter Fudge Day. Marcellus Edson received a patent in 1884 for the milling of roasted peanuts between heated surfaces until the peanuts reached a fluid or semi-fluid state. And when cooled, according to the patent, reached a consistency like that of butter, lard, or ointment. On this day in agricultural history in 1820, a whaling ship, the Essex, was rammed twice by a sperm whale and eventually sank. In 1886, Carl von Frisch was born. A zoologist, his studies of communication among bees added to the knowledge of the chemical and visual sensors of insects.
In 1906, Greenleaf Picard, a U.S. electrical engineer, was issued a patent for a silicon crystal detector, one of the first devices widely used for receiving radio signals. The detector was revolutionary in that he found that a fine pointed wire known as a cat's whisker in delicate contact with a mineral produced the best semiconductor effect. In 1967, the U.S. population passed 200 million. That according to the census clock at the Department of Commerce. And in 1969, DDT was banned for residential use as a part of a total phase out of its use in the United States. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner on the phone line to take a look at the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Let's start here in the Midwest. It's going to get cold again, I think, Drew.
Boy, that's an understatement. We're watching the cold up in Canada. It's been a wild ride already up there. And at this hour, we've seen a cold front cut through a part of the northern U.S. plains and the northwestern Corn Belt. Temperatures are falling rather significantly across some of that region. And we're going to see all that push down in through the heart of the Midwest with good 20-degree temperature drops when the front comes through initially. And then we'll probably see temperatures go even lower than that. We'll probably be seeing some afternoon high temperatures as we get into the weekend coming up, only in the teens and 20s in the northwestern Corn Belt and 20s and 30s in the rest of the region. And low temperatures at night will probably get down pretty nippy as well. We're going to be expecting to see some of those temperatures below zero in the northwestern Corn Belt. It's really regular wintertime weather for sure across a big part of the region. We'll expect those some of the lower parts of the Midwest to not be quite so cold over the course of the weekend, with those afternoon temperatures probably holding up into some 30s and some 40s. So most of the coldest air is going to be in the north where those teens and 20s occur.
And then if you turn your attention to some warmer climes, how are they doing in South America?
Well, they are looking very good. I can't find too much wrong with the pattern right now, and certainly not in Brazil. We've got some pockets that are a little dry, but it looks like the forecast models are assuring that there will be rain in those dry pockets at one time or another over the next 2 weeks. So the end result is that there's going to be a pretty darn good environment for crops to continue to be planted in, as well as development in the early part of the season here. Argentina is also doing a lot better. Of course, they were way too dry a few weeks ago, but they are in good shape today. And they're in a net drying mode right now, but coming up this weekend and then periodically on into the end of the month, we're going to see more showers and thunderstorms coming and going. So I really can't find fault with any of the crop areas down there in South America.
And in Australia, how is the wheat crop progressing there?
Well, the harvest is underway across a large part of the production region. It is done in the north, but it's moving along fairly swiftly in the southern portions, or I should say interior southern portions. The weather pattern has been very good for them as well. Most of the crop is being taken out of the fields without any weather-related delay. Maybe next week we'll see a little bit of a change where there will be a little more rainfall in some of the southeastern part of the country, but I'm still not anticipating anything more than disruption to harvesting. I do not think we'll have any kind of a grain quality issue.
Thank you so much, Drew.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. And that wraps it up. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.